morning, sir. What is your name?
Tom Trujillo.
Okay, sir. Mr. Newell is going to be conducting your hearing. That'll be the next voice that you hear, okay?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Hang on just a second. Ma'am, do you wish to speak in his behalf? Not like this minute, but during the hearing, do you wish to speak?
Yes, if I can.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure if I didn't miss you.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know if they have anybody else that wants to speak with me.
Is it? Does anybody else want to speak for him? That's yours, is the only name that's on here, though. Okay, all right, thank you. Okay. Mr. Trujillo, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Ramon Chuco Molina Trujillo. My DOC number is 152-525.
Okay. All right, good afternoon, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency in reference to your community supervision ratification. I'm going to introduce the board members who will conduct your hearing this afternoon. To my very far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. To her left is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Grady from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office this afternoon. Okay, prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
All right, thank you, sir. Okay, so at this moment, or this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Grady and your brother in as witnesses, okay? All right, so we all solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God and do you so affirm. Mr. Trujillo?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Trujillo? Okay, well, that's fine. We got him. And Mr. Grady?
Mm-hmm.
As long as I get an ID, I have all three of you, okay? Your hearing will be conducted in two phases this afternoon, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, I am going to read the six allegations that are on your warrant, sir. And after each one, I'd like for you to tell me if it's true or false. And if it's also, we'll get some more information for Mr. Grady and then talk about it, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about February 13, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 1st, 2017 through March 19, 2018. Is that true or false, sir? Okay. And then allegation number 2 is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 13L, as demonstrated by your failure to refrain from being alone with or have any form of contact with anyone under the age of 18 without a parent or guardian present and without prior authorization from your supervising officer on about March 10th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
Okay. Allegation number 3, violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 14G, as demonstrated by your failure to remain within your specified inclusion zones or out of your specified inclusion zones as directed by your supervising officer and abide by any and all curfews imposed by your supervising officer on or about March 10th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
All right. Allegation number 4 is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 13H, as demonstrated by your failure to refrain from viewing, purchasing, possessing any pornography, sexually stimulating material, products, or entering into any adult establishment of any kind on or about March 12th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
All right. Allegation number 5 is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 13E, you're violating the provision of 13 you have demonstrated by your act of accessing any internet websites correctly or indirectly, any internet website whatsoever, including but not limited to any social network websites and chat rooms, in order to, in whole or in part, legally generate content or material that may be with regard to depictions of both minors and adults, may, could, reasonably be anticipated to, could really be result in, or appears to be intended to cause or encourage sexual excitement or arousal or hostile behaviors, or that depicts sexually suggesting settings, poses, or attire on or about March 12, 2018. That true or false, sir?
True.
Okay, then allegation number six, in violation of the condition of supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your possession of intoxicating beverages on or about March 12, 2018. That one true or false, sir?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on the admissions of Mr. Trujillo, I am going to find that he was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or without lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion made by myself, Mr. Neal, seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, and moved by Mr. Johnson. All right, sir, we're going to move into phase two here in a couple of minutes, but prior to that, Mr. Brady's going to give some background information. So stay on the phone, and I'll get back with you in just a minute or two. Okay?
Okay.
Mr. Brady.
Mr. Trujillo was released from DOC on October 19th of 2017. He was arrested on March 12th of 2018 by parole staff in the field. In no new charges, he was returned back to DOC on March 12th of 2018. He has a CCD of July 22nd of 2019 that reflects zero absconding. Current conviction, 2008, sexual contact with a minor, 10 years. 2008, sexual offender registration violation, 2 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 2000, misconduct involving weapons, 1 year. 2000, misconduct involving weapons, 1 year, 6 months. 2007, escape second degree, 2 years, 3 months. His 3 terms with DOC, his CUIR scores are 3.3, mental health scores are 2, substance abuse scores are 2. He's affiliated with the street gang Rario Madison Heights. Prior term of supervision, 2001, TIS release, arrested in the office on a tech violation, we went to the BOEC. 2008, released on an absolute discharge. Disciplinary violations were minor with drugs and violence noted. Other arrests, 1996, shoplifting, Arizona juvenile probation. 1996, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona juvenile probation. 1996, concealed stolen property, Arizona juvenile probation. 1997, murder, second degree, Arizona juvenile detention. 1997, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile detention. 1997, false statement, Arizona juvenile detention. 1999, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2003, sexual conduct with a minor, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2006, sex offender registration violation, Arizona felony conviction probation. It's a community risk score of a G7 V8.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Trujillo, I'm going to go over a summary of your case supervision. And I've seen that October 19, 2017, you were released from Florence South on TIF, and you were approved a placement was developed, and you were approved to reside at Budget 5, number 270, at 8617 North Black Canyon Highway in Phoenix. Then on November 9, 2017, you were approved to move to 921 South 35th Avenue and 1 in Phoenix. So did you stay there at 35th Avenue and the rest of the time that you were out, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And let's see here. Looks like you were employed with Phoenix Rack and Axle on 132nd Street. And then January 15, 2018, you obtained second employment at Papa John's Warehouse. house at 859 South 86th Avenue in Tolleson. You quit the Southwest Forest Products at that time. And you stayed there at Papa John's?
I was actually working both jobs, taking track and axle and Papa John's.
Right, you stayed with Papa John until about the middle of February. Then there was too many hours between the two places, so you concentrated on what was that, rack and axle?
Okay. Yes, sir.
But you stayed, you employed, that was the main thing. A lot of people out there, and even though they get a job, they don't stick with it. They don't put a whole lot of effort into it. It sounds like you put a whole lot of effort into staying employed. Programming. Let's see. You referred, November of 2017, you referred to the Arizona Center for Change for Sex Offender Treatment. And then on March 12, 2018, you had failed to enroll in the sex offender treatment. Why didn't you enroll in that program, sir?
Actually did, but in regards to it, there was a whole lot of back and forth, and they kept leaving messages, which, because I was working a lot, so there was times where the message I didn't receive a message right away, and then I called back, and then they put it off, and then there was like a whole lot of back and forth. But prior to me being arrested, which is not on there, I don't know if you received my letter. I have wrote a letter to you guys, and it states on there that I had took a test like 2 weeks, a week and a half prior to being back in custody, which I think was called, like an ABLE-3 test. I actually did it with the director of AZ Center for Change. I don't remember her last name, but I put it on the letter. Her first name was Diane.
Okay. Yeah, there is a letter in here from you. So, you were assigned a task for random drug alcohol testing. You were required to submit 6 urine specimens during the period of supervision. You failed to submit urine specimen on color line on February 13th. You were directed to submit urine specimen on the 14th. And you did, which was negative. And you tested positive for THC on January 31st, 2018. But it was excused because you had been approved to use medical marijuana. Did you already have your card by the time that one happened?
Yes, sir.
Okay. A lot of people get out, they apply, but they start using before they get the card in their hand, and that's a violation, but that's fine. Once you get the card and get all registered with TASC, they won't even show it on their record that it was there. So
I actually waited for approval from my parole officer supervisor, so, and it took a few months. I got it in November of 2017, and then they approved me till I think like the end, beginning of January, the end of December, so.
Right. Well, that's something. The good thing is that it showed up in TASC because they hadn't gotten the word yet. But your PO forgave it because you had the card and everything, so there was no problem with it. That's pretty good. So you've got quite a few violations here, sir, and most of them, all of the alcohol, are pretty closely related to the special conditions that you get as a sex offender. I'm curious as why you can't stick with those conditions of release. I don't know anything about your case and everything, but with the amount of time you've been in jail and getting released on TIF and everything else like that, it doesn't sound like it was child molest and a bunch of pedophilia. It sounds more like something with a teenager, which I would think that you end up going to jail for, you would want to not go back to jail, especially for violations of the same thing that you were convicted of. What did, I mean,
do you have a continuing problem that you're not going to be able to handle, or what's going on, sir?
Actually, my situation did have to do with a teenager, but I had nothing to do with any teenagers while I was out there this time. It's just, I felt like, more or less, I was down and out a little bit at the time that, when this all occurred, like, it happened within a week. But prior to that, that's no excuse for anything that I did, because I was also doing a bunch of other stuff, so. But.
Okay. So if the board was to return you to community supervision, do you have any plans of requesting to be put into some intensive sex offender courses so that you can complete that part of your requirement, or?
Well, I was trying to take my classes, and also I had explained to one of the parole officers that returned me to custody about my situation. I was falling a little bit into depression, and I more or less should have asked my parole officer for help. And I think more or less those classes probably would have helped me maybe look at my situation a little bit better instead of drifting back into my old ways.
Okay. I want to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Ms. Whitmouth.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Trujillo, I'm curious about this series of texts. Now, when you use medical marijuana, you must purchase that at a licensed dispensary, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then, but there's a series of text messages and someone communicating with you saying, excuse me, saying they wanted to buy some, and you replied, what are you looking for? And the person texts back, I just need a dime. Excuse me. And you say, okay, I got you. And then there are messages about where you're going to meet. Were you selling your marijuana that you got at the dispensary to someone else?
No, I wasn't.
What was that exchange about?
To tell you the truth, I can't recall any of that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Okay. Since you have no more questions for the board, I'm going to turn the floor over to your mother to come up and speak on your behalf. Come on up. Come up to the podium. State your name, and then tell us what you'd like to tell us.
My name is Dora Malinger. I'm Roman Fuji's mother. And for what I know, he was doing good. I helped him get his apartment and a vehicle, so he got a job. I didn't spend much time with him because I don't live here. I live out by Sholo. And so I didn't know what he was up to or nothing, but when I go see him, he was doing good. He had his job, and he would tell me that he couldn't do two jobs because he got so tired, but the last one he had, he was doing good. When I went out to I went out to see him one time at his work, and they said he was a good worker and that he was there all the time. And he's been doing good as far as I know. And for some reason they let him out, or whenever he gets out, I'm planning on seeing if he can go out and live where I'm at, in Sholo.
Thank you, ma'am.
Any other questions for Commissioner?
Do you have from the board?
No.
Okay, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing, and the board will want a discussion in there a few minutes, and we'll make a decision on your revocation, whether to reinstate you or whether to revoke you. But before we do that, we'd like to give an opportunity to make a final statement and give us any information that you think might be pertinent to our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat yourself.
Okay. Like I was explaining about the classes, I was going through a rough time. As a matter of fact, when I violated, everything that is on there that at the time that I violated was during that weekend or week. And I was out there for going on 5 months, doing great, and everybody slips up every once in a while. I know I'm not the best or I'm not the greatest person in the world, but everybody deserves a second chance. I was in here for 9 years. I've been in here for a month, and I hate it. I hate being back in here. And as you heard from my mom, I was actually contemplating on going up there, which would change my environment, which I was trying to do the first time around. But my parole officer was not agreeing with the places I was trying to get released to up there. And actually, we're trying to set up and see if we could find a place for me to go up there, which will change my environment all the way around. And maybe I can start over again. And I'm just asking for a second chance. That's all I'm asking for.
Okay, sir. The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. And if you're wondering why I keep looking off to the left, there's a screen over there that I can see better on than the big one. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think that we're addressing you, but we won't be. But we ask to stay on the phone, just remain silent during the discussion, and once we make a determination, I'll get back with you. Okay?
Okay, sir.
All right. The board is now in discussion. Well, this is an unfortunate case. Mr. Trujillo had some problems with having sexual relations with a minor. Don't know the exact details, but that was the gist of it. So, but when he got released, he seems to have problems obeying the conditions of release, and it seems that he had two phones instead of one. He had pornography on the one phone, adult pornography, including some of himself and an unknown woman. He also had text messages that indicated that he may have been involved with some nefarious negotiations over some drugs. I do know that the medications coming out of the dispensaries are much higher quality and generally less expensive than they are on the street, and some people have been sent to jail for buying from a dispensary and selling to somebody that is not authorized to have it. They have a call, and it's not just out of beer, but there's alcohol in his refrigerator in his apartment. They're just they have problems with monitoring, sanguine inside mounds. Based on everything we have here, I just don't see Mr. Trujillo as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time. But I'm going to listen to the discussion from many of my fellow board members.
I agree.
Okay, well, based on all the information and the warrant number 2018W0749, Mr. Trujillo's statements and information from the Department of Corrections and our discussion, I am going to
Move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Trujillo as he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses or without lapses in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Ms. Rittenhouse. Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. We do wish you luck and want to see you be successful. We suggest that between now and your release date next year that you see if you can't get some sort of sex offender programming and possibly some AA and NA type classes. Those classes are good for people even that don't have a true addiction to any of the substances, because they'll teach you a lot. They can teach you a lot of self-control and ways to manage your problems without getting in trouble for them. So we do wish you the best of luck. We thank you for appearing today. We thank your family for showing support. And this will conclude your hearing. And if you would, please put the CO3 back on the phone.
Okay, thank you.